Very good to be out with everybody this morning. Glad to see this number with us. We're thankful to our visitors who are here. You're welcome anytime, of course. And if you have any questions about what I'm about to speak on or anything we do in our worship, please be sure to let the brethren know, and we'd like to discuss that with you. This morning, I'll take our message from Matthew chapter 5. Verses 14 through 16. We're going to read this, and we will be walking through the different phrases and discussing that this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This well-known passage is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He told the multitudes these things, and it was recorded in the Gospels for us to know. The first of these points is, ye are the light of the world. To understand this, we need the context of what light and dark is. Physically, God introduced light in Genesis 1, verses 3 through 4. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. This light that was first made is the physical light, the ones that shine from the sun and from the moon in the evening. He created day and night, and on the fourth day set the two great lights to rule over the day and night. But this light that Jesus is talking about in Matthew does not refer to us physically making the world brighter. As you can see, most of our countenances are not shining bright. This is not the exact light that he's talking about. The light that we display is spiritual. But if it is properly displayed, it can be just as noticeable as the physical light. So then, what is this light that we are to display? John 1, 1 through 13, describes exactly what the light is that we shine throughout the world. And we're going to read that passage now. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word and the light that we discussed here is Jesus. You can see, if you are following along on your own, in your own Bibles, that light is then capitalized. This is then a name that is given and attributed to Jesus. He is the light that is shown to a world in darkness. Those in the dark rejected and crucified the light. Verse 9 states, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh to the world. Every good and true thing in the world is because of Jesus being the light that shines. Also, every man has opportunity to receive this light. Every man who ever has lived on the earth and will live is able to achieve salvation through Christ. We can all receive Him and become the sons of God, as done not by the will of man, but by the will of God. John makes this point clear again in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5-7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us all from all sin. We have our fellowship with walking together in God's light. In this light also, the blood of the Lord's only begotten cleanseth us. The end of verse 5 states how God has no darkness at all. This is what we are told to strive to be like. We are told to be as Jesus was, blameless, as much as we possibly can, being man. Free from the darkness of this world and from sin, made possible through Jesus' blood, which was shed for us. The second half of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Notice how the phrasing makes this simply a statement. If we are being the light of the world, if we are displaying God's light properly, we are unable to be hidden. This is as Jesus said. We will be known in the world, the light will shine in the darkness. This is Jesus' meaning of being a city on a hill. I know many of us have stories about this sort of thing. People in the world and in darkness notice us and our actions. A number are drawn to the stability and surety that we have because of our faith. Another aspect of a city on a hill is that it's easily defended. We see in history how much easier it is not having to fight an uphill battle. How much easier it is defending from the high ground. This is true of our fight as Christians. This is the stance that we have. There is no fight we will get into for true righteousness that God will not help us defend. As Paul notes in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And we'll read that now too. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is in all control. He has total control and total authority throughout the earth. With His power and strength, there is not a thing that we need to overcome. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus. There is no power on this earth, no man that can cause us to be separated once we have made the connection with Him. If we are right with God, shining His light, no man can charge, condemn, or separate us. Because if God be for us, then who can stand against us? Upon this hill, on these assurances, is where our city stands, known to the world, and that cannot and should not be hidden from the world. In verse 15 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives picture of what was a commonality for those that heard this lesson in person. For a man to light a candle and hide it under a bushel is not something that was done. Lighting a candle for it to be immediately snuffed out serves absolutely no purpose. There's no point to this. So I believe that a lesson that can be drawn from us from this is not to do things that would hinder our light. We need to make sure to keep our actions in check so that nothing that we do would be a hindrance to us or to any that we might come in contact with. And if hindrances arise, let it be as uncommon as a man lighting a candle and putting it under a bushel. This would seem as more of an unheard of thing to those in the time, as we are not in common practice of lighting a candle. But nevertheless, the practicality is there and we are able to see it. The next point is to share light with all the house. In the second half of verse 15, I'd like to make another application of this then might not be exactly obvious. I want us to look at this as making the light every part, every aspect of our life, the house being our life. For this we'll read Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. These are the aspects of life that we must fill with light. We must put on the full armor of light. As in verse 12, and relating that to verse 14, as we discussed earlier, Matthew, verse 14, the light is Jesus, whom we must put to shine in our life. All of this comes to one end, a pattern you might be starting to recognize. The next point, let your light so shine before men. Now here we have reached a direct commandment. This is a charge to us. This light we've obtained that is shining and in every part of our lives needs to be shared with all men. This is a charge to do good works before men. They will see this as we are set on a hill. Jesus, the light, must be known before the world. All are able to be saved through him. It is the responsibility of those who bear the light to shine and share with those who are in the dark. There is no alternative. In God, there is no darkness. Men must come to the light. Men must, because we all have sinned. We all have fallen to darkness. We must come for our salvation. Men also must come in order to, because in God there is no darkness. We cannot stay in darkness. Having seen the light. To do that is unto damnation. We must become bearers of Jesus' name, putting him on, being called Christians, and spreading salvation through him to mankind, as he has made it available. And doing all these things leads to one end: to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here is a grand purpose for us on the earth: to glorify God the Father like Jesus did while he was on the earth. We do our good works and shine the light of Jesus for this purpose. To this end, we'll read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We glorify the Father for many things that he provides: for life, safety, stability, strength, and every good thing that is on the earth. But perhaps most importantly, we glorify him for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whom we might obtain salvation, putting on his name and spreading his light throughout all the world. At this time, the congregation of Christians here would like to extend an invitation to any here this morning that might still be in the darkness, who have not put on Christ's name. We ask you to come and be baptized for remission of your sins and to shine Christ's light through you. And for those who wear the name but have shed the light and wish to repent of the sins done in darkness, the congregation here is also ready to aid you and to pray with you that you might repent, if you would come forward as we stand together and sing.
I know. Thank you, everybody, for being here this morning. Are there any announcements that the men can make this comment?
Also, I had those prayers in 2 Samuel, which you can't pray on. Michael. He's the one that requested that they can vote in their prayers. If nothing else, we led our closing prayer and then consider ourselves this one.
Our God and our Father in heaven, we come before you, Father, at the end of this time of worship given to you, to your name, to your honor, and your glory. Father, we pray that all the things that we've done this morning have been in accordance with your word. We have done those things, Father, in truth and in spirit. Father, we're so thankful for you giving us the ability to come here this morning to worship you. And above all, Father, to remember your love for us and the giving of your Son on that cross for our sins. Our Father, we're mindful of those that have been mentioned as sick. We pray, Father, if it be your will, that you would put your hand upon them, Father, and return them to their much-wanted health. Father, we're mindful of those that are traveling at this time. We pray for a safe journey on their part. We're also mindful, Father, of those that serve in our country's militaries and those that are right now are overseas as well. We pray especially, Father, for Noah. We pray for his safe return. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for citizens of this country will live peaceably with each other as we can shine our light, Father, to the world to live peaceably, Father, with one another. We pray for our those that represent us in our government. We pray, Father, that they would seek after your wisdom and your knowledge in the way that they govern this country. Father, we're thankful for the lesson that was brought to us this morning. We pray that we would shine forth your light into this world, that we would be able to shine forth to bring many more to your Son. Father, as we prepare to depart this morning, we pray for your continued guidance in our lives. Father, pray for your protection as we go out into the world, that we can continue to carry forth your name to those that we come in contact with. We pray all these things, Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.